The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, welcome to my program today, Afternoons with Mike, right here on The Shepherd. I have with me today somebody that I've just met and heard so many good things about from our good friend David Swanson over at First Pres, and that is Dr. Aaron Ferrant. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
You're the head of school at Christ School, which I know is affiliated with First Pres downtown. And I believe, do you share some facilities?
We sure do. So we're an independent school, so we're not part of First Pres's ministry. Mm-hmm. But for 25 years, we've been on the same block, the same campus. We're good friends, good relationship there. And we do. We share property, and it's a great thing.
Well, he spoke so highly of you, and I know that you were vetting us out backwards, and that's fair play. That's good that you would do that. I would do it if I were in your shoes, but I'm really glad that David was able to give you a good mark for us, and that worked out well, and now here you are, and we're so happy to have you here. You've been that position for how long now?
4 years.
Wow. Were you part of Central Florida before that?
I was not. I actually came from Atlanta. So I was at a school called Mount Perrin Christian School.
Oh, yes.
Have you heard of that one?
Oh, yes, I have.
Yeah, I was over there. I was the director of Christian Life.
Is
I was a
that
teacher,
right?
And then moved up into leadership and then was able to transfer down here to be the head of school.
And that's a well-known church in Atlanta that most people pass by it when they are on I-75. They can see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so very visible there in Georgia.
Mm-hmm, sure is.
And well known. So tell us a little bit about your upbringing. Was it in Georgia?
I'm actually from Delaware. And so I was born outside of Philadelphia, so probably, 15, 20 minutes from Philly. And that's where I grew up. My parents were both educators, Christian educators. And so just love the Lord and raised me that way as well. So I was able to learn and see the example of Christian living very early on. And so I kind of grew up there. And then when I was in middle school, my dad got a job transfer to Atlanta. And so Marietta area, Woodstock, mm-hmm. Kennesaw, that whole area. And so kind of northwest of the city. And so we moved there. And I kind of finished growing up there. Then I went to college in Virginia at Liberty University. And then came back to Georgia and worked. And then, of course, I've already shared with you kind of how I ended up down here in Orlando.
Yeah. So basically, growing up in Delaware up until middle school, the Frozen Chosen up in Delaware, I mean, they had to be standing alone up there. I know there's a big difference in the North and the South, and I'm sure you saw it and felt it when you moved down to Georgia.
Oh, sure. As far as Christianity, I mean, obviously much more embraced in the South. But really, we went to a good church, people who love the Lord. And so for us, that's how we grew up. And we were the kind of family, we'd be there, Sunday morning for a couple services, Sunday night, Monday night visitation, Wednesday on the weekend. So it really was, our world really revolved around that.
So tell us about how you came to knowing the Lord in a more personal way, not just through your parents.
Sure, absolutely. So obviously I had a huge advantage of being the fact that they were raising me that way. They were teaching me. I was able to see it lived out in their life every day. So it was a huge advantage for me growing up. And at the ripe old age of 4, I went to my parents and I said, I really want to follow God. This is what I want my life to be about. I want to put my faith in him. Ask him in my heart was the terminology that we would use. And so we kind of had that conversation. So my parents were a little skeptical at first of being mm-hmm. 4. And so they say, well, why do you want to do that? What does that mean to you? What does that commitment look like to you? And so we kind of walked that process of what it meant. And they felt confident that I understood. And so at that time, they were able to be with me when I prayed. And I said, God, I want to give my life to you. I want to spend my life serving you. Please come to my heart, save me. And so that was kind of that start of that personal journey. Mm-hmm. And then kind of continued.
I think it is wise that your parents maybe were a bit skeptical up front, because mm-hmm. it's not every day that a 4 or 5 year old would be not only as curious as clearly you were, but that it was the real deal. And apparently it stuck, huh?
Sure did.
That's awesome. So it was indeed the real deal that God was calling you. And that has opened up for you a life that would have been so radically different. And, so often it sounds also that you've mentioned this twice already, that you had good examples in your parents. So they lived it out 24/7, not just something that you saw on Sundays.
Oh, and it was not a compartmentalized part of our lives. Both of them, really, they love the Lord. They always have. That has been the focal point of life. They have not gotten distracted by the world around them. You know, they want to impact and help and do all those things that they have in their life. But they really, their focus has been on God.
Mm-hmm. Now, growing up, you would have seen a lot of kids whose parents were not like that. So what were those early realizations that you had a mom and dad that might be a bit different than your friends' parents?
Well, and the biggest thing that I saw, so I don't know if I fully understood it, honestly, as a young child. You know, as a young child, I think you just kind of accept the environment that you're in. So you go to a house and you just kind of assume that a lot of people are like you, and every once in a while something's a little different. But really, for me, I think the biggest realization came from college. You know, you go away, you're away from your parents, you're with friends, all of a sudden you start talking a lot more about, so what was it like with you growing up? You know, what was your family like? And that's, I think, when the biggest realization came for me. So, you know, I came back from college, you know, one of those stories, you come back from college at the first semester and just give my parents a big old hug. And, you know, all of a sudden you appreciate them so much deeper.
Oh, that's great. So you find that it's easy to take a lifestyle like that and your parents, for that matter, for granted in a real way. And then you see something like that and you go, man, thanks, Mom and Dad, because you realize, yeah, you were off the curve.
Absolutely. Blessed beyond what I realized.
What's the most fun thing about moving to the South that you remember as a middle schooler?
Going from Delaware to Atlanta?
Yeah.
I think it's just the newness of it. There was obviously the weather's better.
Yep, it is.
And it keeps getting warmer as I keep coming south. I don't know where I'm going to go next, but.
There's always the equator, so you can.
that's the next step, I guess. I just keep moving further and further south. But yeah, obviously the weather was great. The culture was great. Just the friendliness and the warmth. There is a difference in the friendliness and warmth, I think, from the Northeast to the South.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to appreciate that and be able to make some good friends early on. And so that's probably relationships and probably weather were the two.
What was the big draw for you into education as a career goal?
So that's a longer story. I actually didn't start off looking at education. I actually went to college for business. I was going to go into marketing and I was studying psychology because my marketing teacher told me that'd be a great way to understand how people think. You know, to help people understand products and desire products. And so I went through there for that. And then God just started doing some crazy stuff in my life, just really incredible things.
How far into college?
This is probably my second year.
Mm-hmm.
And so started traveling with a ministry team, got an opportunity to travel with them. And so they would do Discipleship Now weekends at churches up and down the East Coast. And so I got to travel with them and God really just in place in my heart, my desire to use my time to help others. And so I started really helping them with their growth in faith. And so I really kind of launched into that ministry, started leading one of the teams, really became what I was about. And so finished my undergrad and then actually stayed there and went into seminary. And so went to seminary there, came out, went back to Georgia. And then I started, I helped start a church.
So now you had a master's in what level of theology?
So I have a master's of arts and religion and master's of religious education.
You have two masters?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so did that, came back to Georgia, actually started, I have quite the eclectic background, which I can share with you if you're interested.
That's great. We've got time.
So for that one, I did, came back and there was a buddy of mine who had been an electrician. And so at the time there's a church store that really needed somebody, obviously financially they weren't there yet, but they really needed a student pastor. And so I kind of started part-time as a student pastor helping this church and then also started a business, an electrical business with a buddy of mine. So I had some of the business background. He had been learning how to be an electrician by trade for the last 4 years. And so we kind of teamed up and started an electrical company. And so we were doing, so I was kind of doing both, you know, kind of a foot on both.
Man, you had your hand in all sorts of power now.
I mean, really, very, very, very true. Some of them hurt a little bit more if I got the wrong touch on that one.
You might get sparked a little bit on that one. That's great.
Absolutely. And so we kind of started, I was kind of doing that. And then as the church grew, I kind of transferred full time over to the church. And that was going really well. And then it ended up folding, kind of hit a rough patch and folded. And then actually, one of my small group leaders at the time. And so we were growing. I mean, it was a shame because it was a great church. I think we started with two people in the youth ministry, ended up being like in the 30s after about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
The church was growing, had about maybe 150 people attending on a weekend. And so things were going well. That ended. And I transferred over. There's actually this company that actually built self-storage facilities. One of my small group leaders was pretty high up in. And so I was hired over there, actually went into sales. And so I was in sales for a while. Yeah, yeah. It's so eclectic.
I like this. I like it.
I was in sales.
You're gathering some real world experience here, man.
I was. And I'll tell you, I'll wrap it up in a second. It's so interesting to see God's work when you look back.
Yeah.
But I was in sales there. And then they asked me, you know, will you come and actually we want to, you know, move you into project management. So I started doing project management and contract negotiation. And so things were happening there. But really all the while just feeling, you know, I don't know if this is what God has for me. And then one of those great moments as a profession, the general manager called me and said, you know, Aaron, we want to start grooming you for upper level management. So we're going to start moving you to different parts of the company so you can learn that. And then so we can start kind of, you know, moving mm-hmm. you up. And, you know, normally that's exactly what you want to hear in your profession. But I went home that night and I was like, God, this is not what I want to do. I don't believe this is what you want me to spend the majority of my time doing. And so so I started looking and praying and saying, God, what is the avenue where I can really help people? And so the idea of education came up. And at my church, there was someone who worked at a public high school. And so I started talking to her. She was the department chair of the business department at the public high school near me. And, you know, said, you know, with your kind of business background, both educationally and experientially, I think you'd be a great asset to come and teach some of our classes. So I came, and so I left the company I was at and went into that's how I got into education, back to your original mm-hmm. question. And so I was in so I started teaching these, you know, personal finance classes. I started teaching investment classes. I started kind of teaching business education in high school.
So even though you had already an undergraduate degree and two masters, none of those degrees were particularly aimed at teaching.
They were not.
And isn't that funny how people will end up doing something that's out of the field of the line of study in which they've invested so much time?
Absolutely. And there's so much growth that took place during those studies.
Yeah.
But it was not directly connected to my occupation at that time.
I just love the fact, though, that our country has been open to have people like yourself, you know, really making an impact in kids' lives and adults' lives too, because what you're doing right now, you get to minister to the whole family.
Yeah. Well, and so I started, that was one thing that I loved about teaching is I was teaching those things and I was teaching personal finance, you know, investing, budgeting. Mm-hmm. And I was having these kids that, you know, I mean, some generational poverty students who were coming and saying like, you know, I never realized this. I'm getting my family on a budget now and we're looking at this and I'm going to start trying to put some money away. And so you really felt like you were changing them. You're able to change their family, you know, for generations, the future of how they're going to live and how they're going to handle finances. And so that was such an encouraging thing.
You know, and it all began, did it not, with this kind of like an offer that sounded like it should be exciting for you to become an upper management guy. And you go home and you think, okay, this is it. And then you pray and there's this like, no, this is not it. There's something wrong. That's a weird place to be in, isn't it?
It is. It is. But that's part of just trusting God, you know, is saying like, you know, God, and I, for the longest time, like, God, my yes is on the table, right? Whatever you desire me to do, that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to spend my life, you know, bringing glory to you. I want to spend my life helping other people.
Yeah.
Like that's the yeses for me. And where that looks like and what God, what you have for me, I'm open to.
So this comes up, and this would be a point that I believe for those who are listening right now, and you're going through something, and man, you might have just been offered a new role or position in your company, and you're going through the exact same time that Aaron's talking about, that time of decision, the inward peace that came to your heart when you thought about, as you're saying, Lord, what do you have for me? And then this thing of education comes up. And instantly there's a connection in your heart that would be like the peace of God. That's what you experienced, right?
Oh, absolutely. You just know sometimes when you're really trying to seek God and you're saying, God, I'm open. And then all of a sudden the opportunities start to line up and you can see God's hand
mm-hmm.
leading you. It's an incredible time.
So from there, you obviously weren't done with your education yet. So what happened from there?
So then I have to go back. Obviously, as a teacher, you have to have certification. You have to have certain training to do that role. And so I went back for my certification and got all of that work done, all that school work done. And then as that was happening, you know, as things were going well, I was really enjoying that. I was coaching soccer, which I also love. And so I was able to really feel like I was investing in the lives of kids. And then 08 happened, which is when we had an economic downturn.
Yeah, almost like a major downturn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so how it works with schooling is the funding was cut. And so they pretty much said, you know, they looked across the board and said, how long have you been here? like, if you're under this line, we're going to let you go. And so I was rifted at that time. And so really just praying, you know, God, you know, what do you have for me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right then that education was very hard to get into, you know, obviously with the cut in funding.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a school, though, right around the corner called Mount Perrin Christian School.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a couple people said, you know, you should really look there. And so I went over and I was able to look at what they had. And at the time, they're actually looking for a PE teacher and a soccer coach. And so I said, okay, I know I can coach soccer and I bet I can learn PE, you know, so, you know, let me go apply over there and see if they can, you know, if I can be of help over there. And so I sent my resume and obviously the church work, the seminary, all those things. They saw that and they hadn't posted yet, but they're actually looking for a Bible teacher, a middle school Bible teacher. And so, and a soccer coach. And so they said,
uh-oh, both friends.
Right. You start to see the lining up again of how God had it. And so I went over and interviewed and I was able to get that role. And so I started teaching Bible. So now not just helping with Bill's finances, but actually investing spiritually into people as well. So now, I mean, I'm just loving where I'm at. Just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so as it's going on, I'm teaching there and just enjoying it. And then really feeling like, okay, you know, one day I was just thinking back and saying, okay, God, like I see that right now, both in experience, education, and passion, right? I'm now looking at, okay, so I love business. I love growing organizations,
mm-hmm.
right? Formal education, formal experience. You know, I love investing in people spiritually, formal education and experience. And I love seeing people learn. I love seeing kids, that academics, that the, you know, the light bulb moments and the kids learning and growing and being more prepared. You know, both, so I have both formal education and experience. God, where did those three things come together that I can truly make the greatest impact for the kingdom of God? Business, faith, and education. And that's a head of school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started talking to our current head of school that was there, and he started mentoring me. I went back and got a specialist degree and a doctorate in educational leadership to be, you know, really formally trained and prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Started talking to different parts of the school. And then I think God just kind of aligned that.
That's an exciting journey. And I love two things about your story, sir. I love the fact that it was a journey of discovery. You didn't know all along. In many ways, you were like Abraham. You were just pointed in a direction, and but you didn't know the country to which you were going to be going.
No idea.
Yeah. And then the second thing is that all along the way, you're growing in your knowledge of God, and you're gaining what I called earlier some real world experience. Mm-hmm. So yours is not just a single focus. And I think even as a head of school, to have been as well-rounded in electricity and marketing and business in general, all of these things really play into that whole real life experience that you're able to speak into.
Yeah, and looking back, you can see God's hand, right?
Right.
You can see how this prepared, and when you put them all together, it was the perfect preparation for what God has for me right now.
Mm.
But as you're walking that path, you have no idea.
You have no idea. And that is exciting, and that's called faith. That's part of what our life should be like. I am talking with Dr. Aaron Ferrant, and he's with Christ School in Orlando. He's the head of school. We'll be back with him in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike.
You've had this feeling that there has to be more to work than just work. You have a job, but what you really long for is a career, one that makes you feel like you're actually making a difference in the world. At Palm Beach Atlantic University, they understand that your career journey is unique. PBA's Orlando campus offers respected programs with personalized instruction from a Christian worldview that empowers you to realize your goals and career opportunities on your terms. Start your new journey today with Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando at pba.edu. That's pba.edu. Your degree, your way. pba.edu.
Really enjoying my chat today with Dr. Aaron Ferrant from Christ School. He's the head of school there. And this story that and the journey that you've been on is really fun to hear. And that's one of the things, Aaron, that I love about getting to do what I get to do is that I get to talk to people like you who come from different backgrounds, different parts of the country. And yet one thing that we all see is that unseen hand of God moving us and directing us. And there's that journey. It's like Pilgrim's Progress. You don't know who you're going to see along the way.
Right.
While we're trying to discharge the burden that God's put on our life. And that's what he did for you. And there were other moments where you thought you saw it, and that turned out not to be quite what it was going to be. But here you've got this final part now. You're at Mount Perrin, and you're actually doing a lot of the things, even coaching soccer. Why in the world? I've never understood someone that loves to run, but you obviously are a guy that loves to run.
Oh, I love the work rate of some sports. You spend a lot of time sitting around waiting for your turn.
Yeah.
You know, I think my parents tried me in baseball early on. And for me, it was, you know, I was just sitting in the outfield, like, hit me the ball, please hit me the ball. Or the dugout, like,
yeah,
okay, when's my turn to do something? Where soccer, you get to work the whole time, and I'm a worker.
Yeah, that's
so you clearly lose the ball, you go get it back. You know, yeah. I like that type of sport.
You know, I did not know much about soccer growing up, but when my son was a young guy, I became a soccer dad and quickly a soccer coach. Now, you talk about a challenge, a Hoosier, myself being a Hoosier, loving basketball, having no problem with coaching a basketball team. I had to learn the rules of soccer. I didn't even know them. From Indiana, nobody played soccer back when I was growing up, and now it's like the national pastime.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to play. I'd say it's more fun to play than to watch. I would agree with that, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, but getting to play, not everybody that is as athletic as you obviously were could play soccer and not end up in the emergency room. And I think there are some people who end up there anyway, because it can be a bit of a physical sport.
Well, and I've played as an adult, too. So after college and everything, I would play in adult leagues, both in Georgia, and I played a little bit here. But a lot in Georgia. And again, you know, it's always funny when you start getting in your, you know, upper 20s, 30s, you know, approaching 40 even, you know, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, you're just not quite as fast as you remember yourself being when you're trying to get to that ball. Or,
yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
I think of the Bible verse, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our mind and brain is telling us to go on, you can do it. And you go, Yeah.
The body's saying, nope, I'm done. I am done.
That's too funny. Well, I admire those that continue to do it. And there are many that I've seen that run and play soccer even in their, 50s. There are some guys that are out there doing it. And I'm thinking, more power to you, man. That's just awesome. But I've never been one with good knees, and you obviously have. And that's a real challenge for me to think about how that could work. Hey, tell us how you got from Mount Perrin to Orlando.
Sure. So as I kind of was sharing before, you know, the head of school is mentoring me and helping me, Dr. David Tilley. And as he was helping me, the current head of school at the Christ School was leaving, was going to go to a different role. God had called him to. And so kind of just put out there in a group called CESA's, an organization, National Christian School Organization that we're a part of, both Mount Perrin and the Christ School. And so kind of put that out there that, you know, he was transitioning on. And was there anybody who knew somebody who would be great for the Christ School? And so David Tilley came to me and said, there's this great opportunity that I think would be a really good fit for you. And so at that point, started kind of exploring it, you know, trying to talk to some people who knew the school, who I knew, began kind of researching the school, and then eventually applied and went through the whole process, you know, obviously the application, and mm-hmm. they had a national search as well, and ended up being the person that was selected.
Congratulations on that. And now you're moving, like you said, farther south, as it is geographically speaking. You're coming farther south and you're into the beautiful city of Orlando. Mm-hmm. And what was that like for you?
Well, it was wonderful. I mean, first off, the biggest thing that drew me to the school was the Christ School was the name. So love the Christ School. I mean, just really clarifying, you know, what we're all about. And then I, you know, got here and I began talking to people, and it is downtown Orlando. Mm-hmm. You know, like you walk out and there's a skyscraper right outside our school. And so that was different for me because I've always grown up in the suburbs. So, but love the city feel. Got to start talking to people at the school, and they love the Lord, and they love good academics. They really wanted to invest and change the lives of children, invest mm-hmm. in children, help them. So really just fell in love with the place, fell in love with the people. And so it was just a wonderful experience, and it's been a really good transition as well.
It is a gorgeous area that First Pres is located in, and all of the different facilities that you have down there. And I, like you said, it's not a bad thing working in the downtown. Now, from a standpoint of being landlocked, you deal with that, and I'm sure you have ways that you've worked through all of those issues.
Oh, absolutely. That is a reality for mm-hmm. us. And so we're blessed that we have a nice green space where the kids can play. We have a beautiful gym, and really maximizing our space, though. But there is a reality to that when you are in the downtown location, that there's not, you know, kind of a sprawling land.
But that's okay, because a lot of the day, those kids in that school are really going for it. What would you say are the real educational distinctives of Christ School?
I would say the first thing is that is the Christian focus. So I think that, I mean, that's a part of everything that we do. So, you know, really everything is, we teach them Bible every day. We have chapel every day. We really focus on that. We really believe that God is the source of all truth. And so that's a big part of what we do and who we are. The second part is we really try to do more than just give them facts and information. You know, so much of our education, you know, we use the phrase, you know, we have defining characteristics like who we really are and who we're striving to be. And one of those is that we develop great learners. And so underneath that's a lot of different subpoints. Things like the growth mindset, really understanding that, you know, who we are grows and changes over time with effort. And so we're very honest. We talk about, you know, we're not there yet, but we're going to get there. So we really, really that instilling that passion in students to realize, like, I may not have it now, but I'm going to keep working at it. And we just see the grit and the perseverance. We talk a lot about how, you know, so many times when kids show up, you know, for kindergarten, you know, they're just this ball of curiosity, right? It's why, how does that work? And just they're just wowed constantly, you know. And then unfortunately, so many times in education, you see as they get older, they start to lose it, you know. And whether in upper elementary or middle school or high school, you know, you see this transition where it becomes, you know, okay, what's on the test, right? Just tell me what I need to do to get a grade so I can make my parents happy or get a GPA for college. And this love of learning is lost. And so we talk a lot about how do we invoke the natural curiosity that is in all of us, because we all want to solve a problem we believe we can solve. And so when you really, you structure your education that way, you really structure it around, like, you know, how do you challenge them? How do you ask them questions? How do you dig deeper into those things? It really does create this natural curiosity and makes learning something that's desirable rather than enduring.
People have been talking about, people my age have been talking about the educational system, you know, what kind of future teachers are going to be turned out. So it sounds like you guys have just wonderful teachers there. And how did you find them?
Well, again, I would go back to the same way I found this place, right? By God, you know, by God's grace. And obviously for us, we find a lot of our teachers through word of mouth. So when you have good people, that usually they know good people. And as a part of it, we also cast out broader nets and bring people in. But I would say that we really do have incredible people who, there's definitely been culture shifts that have happened since I was a child. But there also, there's a lot of people that I interact with who love the Lord, who love children, who aren't just trying to get, you know, get through a day and get through a job. They really do see this as a calling on their life. And so when they show up, they love the children, they invest in the children, they want to see them achieve everything they can do academically and help them grow emotionally. I mean, really is kind of a wraparound around these students.
You know, I think that the whole issue of finding that the culture and finding that place where we can stand up against it as Christians. I love the image from the movie that's going on. It's actually a TV show. It's not a movie, but it's The Chosen. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but they use the imagery of going against the flow, the opening, and their logo, actually. It's all the fish going one direction, and there's people going against it. The other fish that are obviously going upstream, if you will, in our culture. So teachers are having to teach upstream right now. If you're going to be a Christian teaching other Christians, especially in a Christian school, you have to be willing to go against the flow.
Sure, there definitely is some of that. But I would say that that's one of the things that's great about our school is that one, as an independent school, you're allowed to make the choices that are right for your community. And so there is that freedom to really be Christ-focused. And there's that freedom to really do what is best for your children. There's not some, you know, bureaucracy that is handing down, you know, kind of you need to do this or you need to do that. It really is our ability to choose what is right for our community and what really does honor God. And so our staff has that freedom. I think that's something that's really special.
What range of students do you have there at Christ School?
So we start at TK, which is transitional kindergarten, and then we go through eighth grade.
Through eighth grade. And so you're seeing the whole middle school experience that you were when you actually made the move. And what is going on with that age group right now that you can identify with from your memories of when you made the move down here?
Sure. So it's a hard age. You know, to be honest, there's a lot of developmental things that are happening for them. You know, a lot of things that we're exposed to in our world right now. I mean, there's just a lot of pressures and a lot of different voices, and it's just a unique developmental time anyway for that age group. And so, you know, for me, I saw, obviously, I moved to a whole new location. You know, I knew no one when I came to Georgia, to Atlanta, the Atlanta area. And so that was a big transition for me. Many of them, they know people growing up, and then some new kids come in every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to be real intentional. Like, how do you really help them feel belonging? You know, that's really a place of self-identifying, really identifying, you know, who am I? Who am I going to be? I'm starting to start making more of my own choices, start identifying myself versus just kind of, you know, kind of latching onto what my parents have always taught me and kind of who they are mm-hmm. as a family. And so that's a big time for that. And we try really hard to make it a community thing. So I'll share one thing that we do that it is literally my favorite thing, the favorite moment of the entire year. It happens on the first day of school. And so we have a system, we have a house system at our school. We started middle school really as a culture builder and a connectivity. And so they're divided into different houses and they kind of have competitions against each other. They have a lot of fun. They compete as a place of belonging, kind of a group in group kind of belonging.
Mm-hmm.
And so the very first day, all the sixth grader and all the new seventh and eighth graders, they kind of reveal what house they're going to be in. And so you imagine you have these four groups of kids, you know, someone with blue shirts and purple, and, you know, they have different like Wolf Stride and Eagle Store, the different names of the houses and the colors.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, seventh graders are all broken up, you know, and they're in their houses, the four houses. And then you have the sixth grader, the very first day of school. So, you know, traditionally, you know, middle school is, you know, you walk with your, you know, your lunch and you don't know where to sit in the lunchroom and, you know, who's going to, you know, does anybody know me? And the eighth graders are the big men on campus and I'm not, and I'm trying to figure my way out. For us, the first day is they go up and they reveal. So we've had used cannons and balloons and different ways of doing it. But all of a sudden you go up on this little stage and then, you know, everybody's kind of watching and the anticipation is building. And all of a sudden, poof, you know, balloon or cannon and all like purple confetti just flies everywhere around the student.
Oh, man.
And then a fourth of the seventh, eighth graders are just erupting like, yes, you're, that's Eagle Soar for us. So
yeah.
Eagle Soar, you're with us.
Okay.
And they're picking the kid up and they're high-fiving them and they're hugging them and they give them the shirt. And all of a sudden it's like, this is your entrance into middle school. This warm, welcoming. And then you're with us. And now these seventh graders, it's not a, you know, we're the eighth graders, you know, you're the sixth grader. You know, it's, you're with us. You're part of our team.
What a difference. I mean, that really is an inclusive way of bringing people in. And you also lose all of what could be just weeks of awkwardness and maybe shyness. And instead, from day one, they are really a part of the group.
Absolutely. And then we do a retreat about a week later, week and a half into school. And so then they're able to kind of go away for all just the middle schoolers. And they do, again, house competitions and they spend time. And then mm-hmm. we really have a spiritual focus, really kicking our year off, again, focused on God, focused on community. And so it's a special way to start middle school.
Wow. Sounds like it is. How has COVID, the year of COVID, what kind of an impact did it bring to Christ School?
Really, no change at all. I'm just kidding.
I thought you were serious.
Boy, don't we all wish we could say that seriously,
man,
or not?
That was hilarious.
I don't know
that was
if
a
I
great moment
that.
Right there.
There's been so many changes. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, it was last year spring break. Right. And I remember, I mean, just so distinctly, just one of those moments, you know, that's crystallized in your mind. You know, sitting there talking about, like, hey, so what is this going to be?
Yeah.
You know, we're about to head into spring break. Everybody's trying to figure things out. We're starting to get more and more information. You know, can we keep doing this? Can we come back? We're having to make, you know, our plans, like, okay, if we do or if we don't. And then I remember, you know, having to make that call about not coming back. And when, you know, as many of us did. And so, and then really to start in that, we had a transition. So we said, you know, we're going to start. You know, last time, like, we're going to keep teaching these students. And so we flipped over to Zoom. Mm-hmm. We said all spring break was us going to every teacher's house and making sure they had their Wi-Fi set up, you know, those that needed the help and making sure everything was working, testing everything. And then we went into live or remote kind of live teaching. And so in the fall of last year, we had kids who were, you know, they would be in their class from 9 to 10, 11 to 12, and have a few other times where they would log in and their teacher would be teaching them through that. And so we kept instruction going and then obviously hit the summer and said, okay, now what does this look like long term? You know, we want to have kids in campus.
Yeah, no one believed it would have been that long in the beginning.
No, it really was just, let's just figure this out and then we'll know more as we start going. And again, like we told before, you start walking that journey, that path.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year we really said, okay, let's be wise. That was our main thing. I know some schools that went to get rid of everything else, you know, desks in straight rows, kids masks all day, barriers face forward, you know, really to the extreme, in my opinion. You know, others said, like, we're not going to worry about it, no masks, none of these things. And so I knew those polarized sides. And we tried to say, okay, let's be wise. So what do we value? You know, we want to keep the kids safe. We also value collaborative learning. We also value being a kid. We also value, so we want to have masks optional times and mass required times, the terminology we used.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of walked through what's gained and lost from each section of that. And so we had it where they, when they're sitting at their desks, right? We did get the shields. They can take their masks off. They can learn. And then it's time to do collaborative learning. Okay, we're going to put them on. We're going to meet together. We're going to work. And so we've really had this kind of what we try to structure is very thoughtful and wise of what's the biggest gains on both sides of the equation and how can we leverage that.
Will this continue this year, or are you looking at even more freedoms for the fall?
So we said that we are going to, in June, we have a big leadership retreat, and that's when we're going to really decide those things.
Yeah.
I anticipate being able to pull some of those back and kind of have a little more options.
I'm hoping that for you. That's great.
Thank you.
Talking today to Dr. Aaron Ferrant from Christ School. He's the head of school. We'll be back with one more segment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Having a chat today with Dr. Aaron Ferrant, and Aaron is the head of school at Christ School, and it's, by his own description, a school in the kind of the downtown area. Having an urban school like that is really, it's not every day, because a lot of times people do look for the hillsides and the big, big rolling pieces of property, which can be problematic for a lot of people. A lot of maintenance there, a lot of upkeep. But having something also downtown is something very beautiful about that, and something historic. Orlando has turned into a beautiful downtown area.
Sure has.
So when you're there, what do you find right now as you're looking in the year 2021? We've already talked about COVID and maybe seeing some things relaxed this year. What really excites you about this next school year that would be in addition to that?
Probably the two things that most excite me are probably two things that I've missed over this past year. The first one is service. So that's a big part of who our school is. We have a service day where we kind of shut down school, and families come in, their parents, and we go out as grades and just serve all over the community.
That's a great thing.
Tons of different ministries. We have a lower school service club that goes out. We go to Daily Bread. We go a lot of different service places all over. We have service, like capstone service projects that the middle school does, like going to the DR, different service projects around Florida. And so service is a big kind of a heartbeat of our school. And this year has been so challenging. It's challenging for us to do it in a way that everyone feels safe.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the ministries we partner with, they're just not as open as they have been for obvious reasons. But I've missed that. And I miss that development that takes place in the life of our kids. I'm really having a heart for other people and really serving and seeing some of the great ministries around our city. And so that has been something I've really missed. The other thing is the community. One special thing about the Christ School is just, these are friends, they're families, they grow up, they live together. You know, they end up having these strong bonds, around their schooling, their children's schooling. And that has just been hard. Up until the start of April, no parents have even been allowed into the facility. And so we have families who, maybe at one time on an open house all by themselves, they came in. Because obviously we were trying to be very, very safe and very strict on that.
Sure.
But they, have not seen much of the building. They don't have a lot of as strong of relationships as usual. And so I'm very excited next year to do a lot of good community building to let some of our new families really form those strong relationships with current families and be able to move forward in that way.
Do you feel that having this school in a particular church's complex, if you will, because it's a big area that you have there and a lot of different buildings, you have a lot of people that obviously would come to the school from First Pres. What about other, you don't have to be a member of First Pres to be part of Christ School, right?
No, not at all. It's an independent Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
I think we represent about 50 churches that are represented at the school. And so from all different backgrounds, we have people who are Catholic, we have people who are Baptist, we have people who are Methodist, Presbyterian, non-denominational. It really is a non-denominational Christian school. And so obviously with First Pres and the great relationship we have in our location, we have a strong showing from First Pres families.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is very eclectic as far as our Christian faith.
very evangelical, though, and that is something that I know that a lot of people are looking for and wanting to make sure of the doctrine. What would you say would be, if someone were asking you, they would say, what kind of statement of faith does Christ School have? What would you answer that with?
Well, there's a longer statement, right? So just to give a lot of clarity, you know, it's one of the things where really are, you know, unity on the essentials kind of school. And so things, you know, obviously, you know, God, creator of the universe, you know, Holy Spirit, Son Jesus Christ, you know, the way to heaven, died for our sins. You know, it's not something that man earns by the grace of God, you know, that we can have a right relationship with him, you know, that we separated from Adam and Eve and then our own individual choices. We separate ourselves from God with sin, and that, but God did not want to leave us that way. And so he created a way through Jesus, for the blood of Jesus Christ, to save us and bring us back to himself. And so that's a big picture of what it is.
That is the gospel in 45 seconds right there, my man. You did very well.
Thank you.
You know, one of the things that I think it's so good for all of us, there used to be this, I think it was like a little program that people put together, and it was called The Gospel in a Minute. And the goal is that if asked or when asked, how would you answer what is the essence of the gospel in 60 seconds or less? And that's what we need to be able to do.
Absolutely.
So how cool is it that kids are getting not only a good education by a person that is well-rounded as an educator and as a person, I might add, but they're also getting exposed to the truth of the gospel, like what you've just uttered. That's a really a win-win for a parent.
Amen.
Yeah. When you look back at this, what has been now in 4 years of being at Christ School, what's been the most fun thing that you've seen happen?
I think one has been just the life change of kids. There is something so special about seeing the maturation of a child. To see them kind of grow and learn. The love for God, obviously, when some of our students have come to follow the Lord, those are special moments. Being able to celebrate together as a staff, just the deepening of relationships, getting to know people on our staff, getting to know our families, seeing the community build around that. The service day is a big one. The house one I told you was a big one.
Yeah, that's big.
There have just been so many things like that along the way that have been very special.
When you guys look at, and I know all Christian schools are having to keep their eyes on this Equality Act that's being talked about right now, how does that being discussed, or what kind of impacts are you bracing yourselves for if this thing were to ever become reality?
So I think that we want to make sure that we are always able to proclaim the truth of God. And so for us, it really is about what does God's word say, you know, and how do we live that out well? And then how do we, you know, position ourselves in a way that we'll always be able to do that? And I think a lot of it, I know there's a lot of thoughts and fears, and we don't know the future and how things are going to go. And some of those things are out of control, But I think a lot of it is faith also. You know, it really is, you know, God's plans will not be thwarted by anything. And I believe that he has blessed his church and he's called his church, and he'll protect, Lord, you know, those that he desires, and those that are pursuing him. And so I believe that we are going to continue to do our best in the world that we are in to proclaim the truth of God, to love people well, to really love people genuinely and well. And I believe that God will take care of it.
We know that May is always the year or the time of year for prayer emphasis. The first Thursday of May was National Day of Prayer. And when you think as a head of school and all of the teachers that are there, what would you see are the biggest prayer requests that you guys find yourself praying for over your kids in the school?
We pray that, one, that they will really live a life that glorifies God, that they will see him for who he is. That there's so many, as you've referred to, there's a lot of competing voices and a lot of competing mentalities. And we talk a lot about having a Christian worldview. And so I pray that our kids will truly know God and not just know about God. Because I think there's a lot of times where you can kind of start to absorb facts and information. And that's part of, you know, biblical literacy and understanding those things. But really have it be something that impacts their heart, that they walk away and they say, God has impacted me. He is real in my life. And I live that out daily. And those around me see that. And I'm able to be a witness for him. And I can go. So my prayer, as you know, I oftentimes talk about how, you know, as they're becoming the men and women God created them to be, that they will be impactful adults, that they'll be impactful in the way, because who knows what God's going to call them to, right? I surely didn't know what God was going to call me to many times in my career. But God has a plan for them. And if they will love God and they will really live their life focused, not just on themselves, but on how they can love others and serve others, I believe they will do amazing, amazing things. Mm. And that's my prayer for them.
All right, now I'm going to give you another 1 minute here. So we've heard how well you did with the gospel in a minute. Now for a parent who's trying to decide what school to put their kid into, what kind of a 60-second commercial would you give a parent?
I would start off by clarifying that a student spends over 1,200 hours at school each year. That is a lot of time. You know, even for me working at the school, my kids spend more time with their teachers and classmates than they do with me on the weekdays, waking hours. And so what is modeled for them, what is communicated to them, what they see lived out, that is so important in the development of a child. And so you want to pick a place that mirrors what you are doing at home. You want it to be a place that really does hold God up, that really does match what you're teaching them at home, that they get a consistent message, and that they are loved and cared for. I'd also say that you want a place that delivers high quality academics that allows them to really open the doors to any avenue that would be in front of them. So that's what I would say. And I say that we deliver a high quality academics that really doesn't focus just on, you know, putting more content in their mind, but really developing them as a learner and as a person. We also love God well and live that out, and they see that modeled for them and also spoken about. Mm-hmm. And so it's very clear. And so I was saying, for my commercial, I guess, as you referred to it earlier, if you want a place that truly does love God and love others, and you really do want some place that develops the whole child academically, not just trying to get them ready for a test, but really developing them as a learner, that's the kind of place you want.
Man, you're good. I gotta use this little motif a little more often, because that was excellent. I mean, that really would, I believe, for most parents, that would really give them a good synopsis of what Christ School is all about and what you are about as the head of school. And if the teachers are able to capture that vision, and I loved when you said the school being an extension of what they're trying to teach them at home. And that says two things to me. That says that you're, first of all, valuing the role that parents have, and which is a unique role, and a very special role in every child. But then you want to go alongside and help the parents with those children. That says a lot right there about what you should be doing, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, we're partners. We love our families.
Oh, that's really great. You know, are you a big Orlando soccer fan for the professional team that we have here in Orlando?
I am not. My number one sports team is actually the Philadelphia Eagles from way back when. So that runs deep. I was watching the draft, and I'm very excited this past weekend.
All right. So it's the different kind of football that you're following.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't know if you were an avid soccer fan here in Orlando. I've not gone to a game yet, but my son, I know, follows soccer, professional soccer out in Texas. Mm-hmm. And they have a team right there in Texas that would play Orlando from mm-hmm. time to time. But yeah, I'm still a big Gator fan personally, and that's where allegiances lie right now for me. So
they can run deep, can't they?
It does run deep. I'm a Gator dad. So I've had three kids graduate from UF, and that will always be for me a very special place, much to the chagrin of my FSU buddies that I have in Orlando. But they've learned to cope well with those things, if you will. What do you see for the balance of this summer? What are folks going to be doing there at Christ School?
Well, it's a lot of preparation. Obviously, we're going to be going back and looking. You know, we really want to talk. We've talked a lot about this last year and really looking at it as a learning opportunity. So obviously, we were forced to do many things different. You know, now it's going to be a chance to say, okay, so what of those things that we learned, do we want to continue? And what things do we not want to continue? Mm-hmm. And so I think the summer is going to be a lot of that reflection and then preparation for the next year. You know, many people think, you know, that church, you know, it's funny with churches too. Like, what do the pastors do except on Sundays, right? Schools are something the same way. Like, you know, what happens, you know, in the summer, nothing's happening. It is one of the busier times. Now it's quieter, but it is busy.
Yeah, quieter in the sense that you don't have the chatter of voices going on. But boy, there is a lot that has to be done to be ready for that first day of school.
Absolutely.
And I know that first day of school, when you're in May and you're looking at September coming, it's coming at you like a freight train right now, isn't it?
It sure is.
I sure have enjoyed having you here. This is Dr. Aaron Ferrant, my guest today on the program from Christ School. He's the head of school there. Be sure and say hello to David for me, if you will.
I sure will. Thank you for your time.
And friends, thank you for being with us today here on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.
Afternoons with Mike.
brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.